I know the Kings play tomorrow, but it feels like we're just waiting for Thursday night to get here.
I can't wait.
It's rare that you look forward to a Thursday night football game.
It's one of the first, honestly, the season opener.
Yeah.
And then this one.
And I mean, Thanksgiving, but that doesn't really count as a Thursday night.
It feels like it's its own thing anyway.
And it wasn't even Thursday night, because Thursday night's
that was the worst of the three.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. But, hey, how are you? Thanks for being with us. That's Jason Ross. I'm Damian Barling. No Ken Rudolph. He is off for the week. We have a lot to delve into. We're going to talk with Paige Van Zandt at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. She's headlining the card December 19th, UFC Fight Night at the Golden 1 Center. Also, we'll have our winners and losers of Week 13, always one of my favorite segments of the week. Want to give a quick shout-out. We'll delve into this game in just a little bit. Want to thank the Jets for absolutely sucking so bad last night. We could completely tune out that game and watch some great NBA action, and I thought we had peaked. I sent you guys a text. Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook, the greatest human ever, the greatest professional athlete in the history of professional athletes. And then Klay Thompson comes on a couple hours later and goes for 60.
Oh, and they were in between. There was a bunch of great NBA. And they're really last night, NBA had a great night.
It felt like everything was a one-point game, mm-hmm. a buzzer beater. There's this call. I know I got it in here somewhere. Where is he? Here. Poor Al Horford. If you didn't see it, the call doesn't do it. Literally, he couldn't have orchestrated a better move to get to the basket. It just rolled off the rim.
Looked like he could have dunked it even.
He
just went, I'll lay it up because I'll just make sure I make it, and it rolls around and out.
But really, the story last night was Klay Thompson in his 60. We'll touch on the other NBA games, and as Jason just said there were some great ones. We got to talk about the Raptors, by the way. I went back and looked at the schedule, the games that the Raptors have lost. It's head-scratching.
I know five of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll
three to
we'll,
one team,
we'll,
two to another.
Right. We'll touch on all of them because you'll hear the list, and the only thing that stands out is one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
We'll get into all of that. Kevin Harlan had another magical moment during a crappy football game last night. Yep. We got that call for you as well here in just a little bit. Tons of baseball news coming up. I feel like we got to point this out before we go any further. Chris Sale is going to the Red Sox.
That's a huge move.
I was just talking to one of our sales guys, huge baseball fan over there, Scott, and he was insistent that Cleveland is still the favorite in the American League. And I just thought, man, you add Chris Sale to that Boston lineup. Yikes.
Yeah.
That starting rotation they have is pretty nasty.
Yeah. And they spent money last offseason. They're doing it now via the trade. Boston will be – they should be legit. They really should be. They were good last year.
Pitchers and catchers report Christmas Eve. Yeah. Is that what it is?
No. It's coming.
A little further away.
Yeah.
Okay, back to where we started from. Klay Thompson goes for 60. He has 40 in the first half. He doesn't even play in the fourth quarter. It was one of those moments you realize if you watch the first half of the game, you're watching, you realize something special is happening.
Yeah, and he, you know, the fans wanted him to stay in longer, but he didn't. There was no game. They just crushed the Pacers. There were so many highlights, and the one thing that I got into that game pretty early and was watching that one, the favorite part for me was how authentic the players were mm-hmm. enjoying in Klay's moment. I mean, some of the Steph's reactions, some of the way, I mean, Kevin Durant's as gifted a scorer this league has ever seen. I mean, he's like praising him, everybody's going, and it looks like they enjoy that it's his night as much as if it was their own. And that to me is a sign of a really
Steph Curry
fun team.
Is literally running
going
up
crazy
and down
yeah.
the baseline,
yes.
the sideline.
Yeah.
Lost in all of that was this play, which we'll try to describe if you can't glean it from this play-by-play call. Draymond Green baseball throws it.
Yeah.
He goes out. Derek Carr's in the crowd, by mm-hmm. the way, posing with the real MVP.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green football throws it down the court. Steph catches it.
Like just, Willie Mays, by the way, over the shoulder, like didn't really even turn it around.
And then just flicks it in the air. Durant goes and gets it with his left and throws it down with two.
That was honestly, I think it was the best play of the night by far.
Oh, not even close.
I mean, Clay's moment is the whole thing, but that play was ridiculous.
There was it when Clay got to 40 and you saw how hot he was and you saw the way the team was responding. When we go back to the Sacramento Kings game where he had 37 in the quarter, mm-hmm. if you go back and watch that quarter, you watch it and you realize the team wasn't catching on to what was happening. He got those 37 in a quarter, and I would take it a step further and say he got those 37 in about 8 minutes,
yeah.
9 minutes, because he didn't start out. There was never a sense of urgency, hey, get him the ball, hey, get him the ball. He very much got it in the flow, and it wasn't until the final 2.5 minutes of that quarter where he was like, I'm not giving the ball to anybody else. I'm just going to keep shooting.
Yeah, he was having, by numbers-wise, a decent quarter. But you're right. I think that was – and we had the number breakdown during the broadcast. It was something like the last 2.5 minutes, like you said, where I want to say he had like 19 points.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so you go from 18 is a really good quarter, but you put 19 more on it in the last 2.5 minutes. It was just ridiculous. And that's when he was – the ball wasn't even completely in his hands, mm-hmm. and he was gone. I mean, he was just – you're going, well, the Kings, you got to double him. They were, and they would push him out further, and he'd catch and shoot, and you're going, okay, that's just a dumb shot. Well, he made another one.
And last night was totally different because the Warriors recognized it.
Yeah.
And they recognized it quick. I thought, and I didn't want to see it happen, but I thought he was going to gun for 80.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were going to make him gun for 80. And when he got to 60 and the game was out of control, part of me thought, Steve Kerr can't possibly leave. Like, he's going to put him back out, right? Like, the crowd's begging for it. The team, I'm sure, wants to see it. Clay, you can tell he wanted to see it.
Yeah.
It sounds like he wanted to play.
Yeah, they think they play 5 games in 7 days. I mean,
right? I get it.
The Clippers tomorrow. They get some big games.
We're 20 games in.
That's a tricky one if you're the coach.
Of course, if something happens to him,
yeah,
we're killing Steve. Or if something happens to any of them, we're probably killing Steve Kerr for it. But man,
it's also a little disrespectful. I mean, I think when it happens, and everything they did last night was totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But now, once you're up 30, and are you doing it just to what? Appease him, appease the crowd, which you can, teams do, but it's like, hey, there is a team on the other side that's losing by 30. Now, they're not guarding him. They're not doing a good job.
Now, my counter argument to that would be this.
Yeah.
Those fans, and I kill the Warriors fans on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. The ones who aren't millionaires there, the ones who aren't Silicon Valley tech, you know.
The upper deckers.
Icons.
Yeah.
They pay a lot of money for those tickets at Oracle.
They do.
My sister lives in the Bay Area. She has to come out here mm-hmm. to see the Golden State Warriors because she can't get in to see them out there.
Yeah.
Those guys on the Indiana Pacers, they make a whole lot of money.
Yep.
They make upwards of $10, $20, $30 million a year. Man up and play defense. If you can't play defense and you get blown out by 60, that's your problem.
Yeah.
These are pros. This isn't a high school game. This isn't even a handshake college game where you went and visited, you know, Alabama, went to Sac State to bring up the Sac State, you know, revenue or whatever it is. It's not that. These are pros.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see him go out there. Again, I get why he didn't. You mentioned the 5-7. Totally understandable. Something happens to him. Derrick Rose was in when he tore his ACL the very first time. If you recall, that game was a blowout. Remember when Chris Webber had his microfracture surgery? Was it a game against the T-Wolves? That game was a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. I get why you don't put him back in there. But, man. I really would have liked to see him gun for it. Just as you put him out there for 4 minutes. If he's at 70, you let it ride.
Right.
If not, all right.
It's fine. Yeah. They actually even took him out before the quarter ended. I mean, they say through three, but it was right at the end of the third, but so he could get his ovation because I think Kerr didn't want to play him. But
yeah,
I think there's also a little bit of charm in the 60 and 29 minutes. Because let's say you give him the 4 minutes and he took five more shots, missed them all. It's like, okay, you were really gunning for something. You didn't add on to you. The night was already special.
The first player in NBA history to score 60 points in 29 minutes, in under 30 minutes. He had a 2.07 points per minute rate.
Yeah.
Which is just below what Wilt Chamberlain had when he scored 100 points and played all 48 minutes. His points per minute, 2.08.
Yeah. This is a whole other category because the stat that people used to talk about before, if you can be a point a minute guy, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
This is twice that. That's right. Crazy.
Worked out pretty well.
Yeah, crazy.
Kobe scored 62. I remember this game really, really well. Kobe scored 62 in 33 minutes. It was all in three quarters. He didn't play the fourth either. And I vividly remember this in 2005 against the Dallas Mavericks.
So this was before after? No, this was before the 81.
December.
Wait, 2005?
I don't have the date. I wrote 2005, so I don't have the exact date. But it was Kobe 62. Dallas 61 after three quarters.
Wow.
That's one of my favorite performances, and we'll talk about most memorable single-game performances coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Another stat, and I'm so proud to say this to everybody listening right now because we've talked about this on this show before, force Klay to dribble. When Klay doesn't dribble, you know how many times he dribbled the ball last night?
I know he had a tweet afterwards. I like to thank my teammates. I think I only had to dribble a couple times.
He said, I think I only dribbled five times.
Yeah.
The actual number was 11.
Okay.
He dribbled the ball 11 times yesterday. Wow. He had the ball in his hands for a total of 90 seconds.
That's it?
That's it.
And we've talked about him. You know, people consider Steph the best shooter, and that's completely fine. Durant, maybe their most gifted scorer. But nobody gets hotter than that guy. I mean, when you think about the Kings quarter he had, last night's performance, was that game six last year in the Western Conference Finals when he saved their season at that time?
Absolutely.
They were going to lose to the Thunder, and he saved it by hitting just some amazing shots. He's such a unique talent. And for a while, remember he was struggling? Early? What's wrong with Klay? He's just fine.
He's not happy Durant's there.
Yeah.
No,
were they 18-3?
I think he's okay.
Boy, they are hurting.
We need to look up. I wonder how much his points per game hit. His points per game must have gone up quite a bit yesterday.
Yeah, we're early enough in the season when it had a big jump.
It probably mattered. You mentioned the Oklahoma City Thunder. That sixth straight triple-double coincides very nicely with the Oklahoma City Thunder's sixth straight win. I was excited. I thought for sure with the crappy football game, Kings were off. Raiders don't play till Thursday. Not really a lot to give you there. We'll give you some sound bites from Derek Carr and Jack Del Rio a little bit later on, but I thought Russell Westbrook's going to lead the show. Like he's killing it.
Yeah.
And then Klay goes on to do what he did, but he'll have to wait until Friday. They have a long break right now. He'll have to wait till Friday to see if he can match Michael Jordan for seven straight triple doubles.
Yeah, and now it's not even. You know, we kind of threw it out there earlier. Can he average the triple? I think he's going to. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got points already, I think, basically. He'd have to fall off the planet to not get the points. Assists, he's been pretty gifted at that. Rebounds for his position, I just still think that's the most amazing thing that he's been doing at his height to average 10 boards. And once you start to get over that mark, 20 plus, 25, 30 games into the year, you can have the night where he gets, I don't know, 7 boards and it doesn't ding you. I mean, what's a bad night for him now? 7 rebounds, 7 assists?
Something like that.
Okay, well, you can do that.
What's wrong with Russ?
Yeah, when you have 14 and when you have 17 on certain nights, I think he's going to do it, barring injury.
The game Friday, by the way, will be a whole lot of fun. The Thunder host the Rockets.
Yes.
It'll be a battle of the triple-doubles. I can see him and Harden both going for.
Yeah.
Because Harden, I'm trying to pull it up. Our internet is down here in the studio, but I'm wondering if he's got to be very, very close to because I think it was 11.8 to 11.3 yesterday. James Harden was still leading the league in assist. I have to imagine if he didn't overtake him yesterday, that gap is significantly closed because I think James Harden finished in that exciting game that they had with 7 assists.
Okay.
So
that's a lower number for him.
And then, you know, we mentioned yesterday, Russell Westbrook, top 10 in rebounding. He's above Karl Anthony Towns. He's above Blake Griffin, and he's above DeMarcus Cousins in rebounds per game.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll talk about that football game or what there is to talk about it here in just a couple of minutes. Want to get to Diego. Diego, lead us off strong, man. What do you got?
Hey, what a game yesterday. As a lifelong Warrior fan, it's pretty fun to watch us being historically good in games like this, how, you know, of our history being pretty bad. And I have a question for you guys about the celebration. As I'm enjoying Klay Thompson go off, I think the Warriors over celebration is kind of concerning because if I'm on on the other team, I think, you know, I may have to send a hard foul to send a message. What do you guys think about their over celebration?
Diego, we appreciate you. I can't tell you how many lifelong Warrior fans I've met in the last couple of years. But, yeah. You know, I'm kidding, Diego. I'm sure you are. I don't have a problem with it. I think we're past that, right? Are we past that era of basketball? Like, I feel like the hard fouls, like the Charles Barkley screaming, foul him, lay him out, you're going to send a message. I feel like we're past that.
Those are flagrant now.
Yeah, like
I mean, you can do it, and what does that mean?
Yeah, I can't think of the last time someone has done that.
Yeah.
We've seen hard fouls,
yeah.
But have we seen, they were trying to send a message there?
Yeah.
I don't think that happens anymore. I think that's a different era of basketball.
I honestly don't believe their intent is to show anyone up. They're a fun team. They're a good team. They may be the best team, if not they're one of them. And he was having a historically good night. They're at home. It's hard not to get caught up in it.
What are you supposed to do? Like, sit there on your golf?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny.
I even thought what I was amazed by, not that Clay did anything to rub it in at all. He's really mellow.
He's super stoic. He
has
no facial expressions.
Like, whoa, Clay's like, hey, let me hear you. I'm like, wow, I don't even ever see that from him.
And you know what's funny? He does it with a straight face.
He does.
Like, he doesn't even look like he's happy.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, come on. Up. Everybody up.
Yeah. And then he kind of a couple times did the chest bumps with his teammates and then smiles like, I think I'm even amazed.
They
Which
caught
is awesome.
Him. The camera obviously was focusing on him a lot in the fourth quarter, and he's just staring straight ahead.
Yeah.
No smile, no laughing, yeah. No nothing. The only time I saw him react is when Steph Curry, he was being interviewed by Ross, Steph Curry opened the bag of ice on top of his head.
Yes.
And I think he only reacted because it was cold. He didn't react for any other reason.
Yeah.
That's just his – he has a unique personality.
You know what's funny, and just as a fan of basketball, just to Diego's point, sometimes it does bother me a little bit on this – here's the scenario that it's two different things that have happened, but one bothered me, one didn't. He's got the gift. Steph Curry, let's say you've seen him do this a handful of times where he shoots the three and he's going the other way. He already knows it's going in. Bothers me a little bit, but he makes it, mm-hmm. whatever. He's awesome. Yesterday when he did it, he knows it's a three and he's walking away, but it's for his teammate.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Like when it's not even out of Clay's hands. His arms are up. He's looking the other way. Like, I'm celebrating because I know it's in. And
Clay
didn't
even have full control of the ball.
Yeah.
When he put his arms up
exactly.
and walked away.
But I liked that better than when he's doing it for himself. But I mean, again, and to see him run around like a madman on the sideline into the tunnel and then back, like, what is he doing? He's going crazy, but I loved it. I thought that was cool.
I thought it was too. Here's Steve Kerr talking about Clay Thompson playing in the fourth. We all remember that too, Steve. Thanks so much.
Well, he didn't remember it.
He also talked about the significance of the 60. Interesting here, Jay Ross. I'm taking my first glance at the text line here at 44-1140. Text Nation already coming strong this morning. Please keep them coming. If that Warriors game was a hockey game, somebody would have had to fight. And the game was out of hand, and the guy was padding his personal stats. Not cool.
Yeah. No, I think
what do you want him to do?
I think
stop playing
in the fourth. He was. Again, this is a
these
situation.
These are grown-ups. These are. I don't understand. I don't understand this need to protect professional ball players, not run-up score. Professional courtesy? Man, come on.
Right.
Stop them. Play defense.
There's still a 24-second shot. You can't hold the ball. You can't we're up 30. We're going to win. So out of respect, we're just going to hold it. You can't do that. You have to run your offense. You have to play. And the weird thing is, in that run, I mean, Clay was in the 50s. I'm like, well, now they put Paul George on him. Now? Where was this before?
Yeah, right.
Like, what took – you're putting your Olympic defender –
poor Monte Ellis is chasing him around all over the place for two and some change there.
Yeah, he was hot in the first half. I mean, it's just, man, okay.
I'm curious the take on that. If Rudy Gay or DeMarcus or whoever has 60 at the in the third, we're running over the Dallas Mavericks at the Golden 1 Center, and you bought a ticket. It's your first time there. You want to see him go out there and make that run? Or as the game gets out of hand, let's say it's midway through the third quarter, Kings are up 30, but DeMarcus – I'm sorry, I know. Yes. Use your imagination
okay,
here, people.
Thank you.
Use your imagination.
Let's talk real world.
Please. Yeah. Kings are up 30, but DeMarcus keeps trying to go because 60 went inside or 70 is within sight. Don't you want to see him go for it?
As a fan, sure. Yeah,
I just don't understand the need to protect professional athletes from – hurting their feelings.
Yeah.
Like we saw, it was Sean Payton against Doug Williams a couple of days ago. Or not Doug Williams.
Greg Williams.
Greg Williams, thank you. They were running up the score pretty late. And everyone watching knew why. Like, there's meaning behind this. There's a reason that he's doing this. No one was crying foul then.
Yeah.
Why do we do this with basketball? Why are we crying foul? I don't understand.
I didn't have too much of a problem with it. I mean, I thought they did it just fine. I don't think he needed to play the fourth, but if he did, I don't think it was the most egregious thing ever.
Right, and I again, understand you threw this number out, and it's important. 5 games, 7 days.
Yeah.
There's a reason that he didn't play in the fourth. But again, they're up by – go for it.
Yeah.
You might never see it again. I wanted to see 70.
Yeah.
I've only seen 70 once. I didn't see when David Robinson did it on that last game of the season. I saw when Kobe did it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I wanted to see him do it.
I think it's a nice benchmark, too, for that team because you feel like Steph could get it. Mm-hmm. Durant could get it.
Oh, yeah.
And they may never get it.
On any given night.
Yeah.
But they'd have to do it in three quarters.
Right.
They'd have to do it in three quarters. We'll come back. Again, it was a great night in the NBA. We'll touch on that. Plus, that football game that was on. We'll at least let you know who won and why it's important. That's next here on the Lowdown. Back here on the Lowdown. Thank you for being with us. It's 12:33. Time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the entire family. That's Jason Ross. I'm Damian Barling. Ken Rudolph is off for the day. Really kind of going over this text line during the commercial break, man. I just caught this one. So if DeMarcus was going for 60, we would still be losing by 10. that's another key reason why Klay Thompson sat, because –
yeah,
they were up a ton.
Big time.
You go back to that Kobe Bryant 81 game, they needed all
right.
of those points, every single one of them. That was a close game all the way until, I think, the last 5 minutes. Then they started to pull away. Then at that point, it was like, what's he going to do out there?
Yeah.
Again, we're going to talk about at the top of the 1 o'clock hour some of the most memorable single game performances, at least in your mind, in your memory, or just what's your favorite. We'll touch on those. Colts absolutely dismantled the Jets yesterday. One thing of note, Frank Gore passed Hall of Famer Tony Dorsett for 8th place on the NFL's all-time leading rusher list. Is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer? He's 8th in history when it comes to rushing. And I don't know who's going to approach that next.
Yeah, I know now that's kind of a dying thing in this day and age. I never felt like he was. And again, my criteria in the past has been, well, if you ask me a question on someone that's Hall of Famer, I should feel like I'd say, oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, there's less doubt. But I don't know. To me, Gore gets in on, if he does, it's on the resume. It's look at the longevity, the amount of years of production. I don't know that anyone ever thought of him as the best running back, though, in his time. He's been good. He's been one of the better running backs.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like, and there should be some credit in durability and playing a long career, even with some early career injuries with his knees. But I guess the long answer is no. I don't really feel like he is. I could be missing something there, and maybe others would say he should be. But what would you qualify as like some benchmarks of Frank Gore's career?
8th place on the NFL's all-time rushing
list.
I mean,
one.
that's pretty much it. Like,
yeah.
I don't really know what I'd go from there. I mean, I know Ken brought this up a couple of weeks ago. Yahoo had an article up on Frank Gore, and it just said he's like a legendary player without a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's,
that's a good way to put it.
He's
yeah.
just like, oh, man, Frank Gore, what is he, 33?
He's still doing it. He's doing great.
And he's still pretty damn productive for
yeah.
the Colts, a team that really – their line isn't the most serviceable, although they were great last night for Andrew Luck, and he just keeps plugging away and keeps being productive for that team.
Yeah. Where
it's a weird one.
Yeah, I think there's a matter of time. Like, the receivers, for years there were guys that had been waiting to get in, T.O. still waiting to get in,
mm-hmm.
that also moved up that ladder or way up there in the top 10 in yards and catches and touchdowns, and felt like they had more moments in their careers than a guy like Frank Gore has. But that running game is dying, and maybe if he ends up in 8th in his career, that might look better as the years go on.
Andrew Luck threw 4 touchdown passes yesterday. There's a 3-way tie in the AFC South with the Texans and the Titans, obviously the Colts as well. And guess who plays on Sunday? The Texans at the Colts.
There we go.
So it'll be fun. I feel like you might have noted this yesterday when we were talking about the Tennessee Titans. Their schedule coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They have Denver at Kansas City. Then they have the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they end with the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Yikes. If I had to rule one of them out, I would rule the Titans out just because of that.
Yeah, and of the three teams, they might be – are they the most balanced? I feel like the Colts have a good offense, shaky defense, though it was good yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Texans have a shaky offense, but a pretty good defense, even though that hasn't been consistent. The Titans
I'd argue
might,
the Texans have a shaky everything. They just keep stumbling into wins.
And then the Titans might be the most balanced, but they're probably the least sexy of the group. You don't feel like there's a lot of dominant players there, but Murray's a really good player. Mariota's having a good season.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be actually a fun race. I didn't think it would be, but it's turned into one.
As we noted, the Colts have Houston coming up this weekend. Then they have the Vikings at Oakland,
mm-hmm.
and they end with Jacksonville.
Okay.
Another note, Jason, the New York Jets, we can confirm, were listening to this program yesterday, and they were listening to you. Mm-hmm. Bryce Petty, who got some action last night, will be the starter for the final four games that the Jets have.
So Todd Bowles waits till Fitzpatrick's thrown a couple of interceptions. They're down, I think at that time, 31-3, 38-3, whatever it was, 35-3. And then brings him in, and then Petty threw every time. I mean, because they're down, and they're going for fourth downs. It doesn't matter. But season was already lost. I don't know. That team was so disappointing. Much like, remember how the Rams looked on the season opener against the Niners? Just awful.
Oh, yeah.
What the Jets were in that territory yesterday, where it looked like, honestly, there were times, and I heard the guys on TV, and then I actually was driving around and heard on the radio as well, Boomer was like, talking to Kevin Harlan, saying, it looks like these guys don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible indictment to say. Like, you can play poorly, but it looked like they didn't even care.
Looked like a bunch of Jay Cutlers out there.
Yeah, that's awful.
You want to play a drinking game? Listen to Todd Boyle's post-game remarks, and you can get what the drinking game might be. Was it written on a billboard
or
the Jets practice somewhere?
Yeah.
That was...
But that's what it was. That's what it was.
That was about 30 seconds worth of audio, and I think that was about six or seven asses in
Yeah.
there. It's like plastered on a billboard somewhere, a whiteboard inside the Jets locker room.
They were the home team, too.
My goodness.
Monday nights at home, you get everybody fired up, and that's the performance you have? I mean, the season was over, regardless if they came out and won. But you played like that? Ugh.
And where do you go? You moved up in the draft to take Christian Hackenberg.
Right.
And everyone was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Whoa, he's not even getting a look. You got Bryce Petty out there who Baylor kid, it's just, I don't see that being the guy moving forward. I didn't think he would. I thought he was coming from one of those gimmick offenses in college. I just don't see him being a fit. That's going to be your starting quarterback next year?
Well, and think about, I heard them say this too, where a lot of their money is right now. Fitzpatrick? Wilkinson, Revis, Decker, Marshall, older guys.
Yeah.
So if this was a team that was struggling and they had young guys, okay, maybe you can say, well, hey, there's still a bright future. We like some of the they add Forte. Everything was kind of like, hey, let's piece it together because we were close last year. Let's put them over the top this year. We'll go one more year at Fitzpatrick. Now what?
Right.
They're a mess.
Yeah, they are. But Kevin Harlan made the call enjoyable. We will have that for you next. It's a Kevin Harlan call, as only Kevin Harlan can do. Plus, we got this text here, Jay Ross. Hey, any word on Alden Smith yet? I know the league is supposed to make a decision this week, and if he's reinstated, he should be able to play on Thursday night? That's from Brian and Sack. We'll try to answer that next on the Lowdown. It's 12:47, time to go to RC Country Hobbies on Folsom Boulevard. It's not just toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the entire family. And be sure you join me and Jason Ross out at Malton Mash on Friday. We will be doing our show out there. You can help a local foster kid this holiday season by donating to KHDK's Sleep Train Toy Drive. The drive and us will be broadcasting our shows live from out there while we collect donations. You could bring a new unwrapped toy, and you will receive a Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Plus, you have a chance to win Sacramento Kings tickets. For more info, go to KHDK.com. A couple of people on the text line at 44-1140 asking about updates on Matt Barnes and Marcus Cousins. Got none for you. Didn't expect we would. There's a game tomorrow. I don't know how quickly the NBA or the Sacramento Kings are going to be able to accumulate whatever went on in that New York nightclub, accumulate facts about whatever went on in that New York nightclub. So, but as we said yesterday, if we have it, we'll pass it along. I just don't imagine we're going to have anything today.
I wouldn't think so either.
We read a text as we were headed off to break about Alden Smith. Now, a couple of alerts that we got here this week from various people. Yes, Alden Smith is hoping to meet with either Commissioner Goodell or an NFL official, a high-ranking NFL official this week, because the word we got earlier in the week is that he probably wasn't going to be reinstated and allowed to return this season. So there you have it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Oakland Raiders do from here.
Yeah, I think if you're Alden Smith, you try. You try your part. You try to get back in the mix. Raiders just need to worry about what they're doing and then plan accordingly. If, in fact, he gets reinstated, then they'll decide then. But right now, they've got bigger things to worry about.
But if he doesn't, though, because someone's got to think about this stuff. If he doesn't get reinstated, do you try to bring him in next year?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you've gone this long, there hasn't been another infraction. It's just this is still stemming from the last one that they knew of, and why would you know, you could have cut him then. But I think you wait and see, and just kind of see how it plays out from the league.
We noted that Kevin Harlan. We got to play this Kevin Harlan
so
clip.
Good.
It was great last night. The game, again, I feel like this is the second time he's been saddled with the garbage game, but he's made something out of nothing. Unconfirmed reports is both fans are in concussion protocol.
Yes, exactly.
we're not sure their eligibility to run on the field next week for the Jets game. But, of course, it brings to mind, and this is one of the best parts about the end of the year, is we get to relive some of our favorite moments. Mm-hmm. And I don't know in terms of pure entertainment standpoint if there's anything better than this. Was that a 49ers game?
Yeah, it was the first game of the year.
Yeah. Our buddy, my board engineer, my engineer on Sunday mornings, Kyle Madsen, filmed a video. And
yes.
I think they took that video and intertwined it with the call. And then you realized, well, Kevin Harlan was so good, he was making the whole thing up. It didn't exactly transpire as he was calling, but still, that's a top 10 for sure moment of the year.
Oh, yeah.
A top 5 soundbite of the year for sure.
Yeah.
He's going to go right up there with Brock at the end of the year when we have have to pick our favorite soundbites. He's going to be right up there at the top of them. We're going to – why do they still not show guys running? There are cell phones – there's 50,000 cell phones in a stadium.
Yeah.
The footage is going to get out there. Why not just show the guy getting drilled – by the state trooper.
I know. Initially, it was what? So you don't promote that?
We don't want to encourage this type of behavior.
You know what? Show the guy getting tackled. You're going to have people not do it.
If guys are getting hit, I mean, we saw the video of that one.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. Everything is on social media. I'm waiting for the video of inside the New York City nightclub.
Exactly.
To get released on TMZSports.com. I'm shocked it hasn't yet. But there's video of everything.
Yes.
Just show it. Embrace it.
Exactly.
And have Kevin Harlan call it. And
that's the key. He can needs to call all of these things.
Can you imagine Chris Collinsworth trying to give an analysis of what is going on when a drunk fan is running on the field? Or Al Michaels. Michaels calling it?
Yeah.
Be great.
Exactly.
Tirico, it'd be glorious.
I just like when Harlan on the first one, and he did it again yesterday. He used it as they expanded on it later. He was like, well, that fella's going to spend a night in the clink.
Yeah.
And he uses the term clink. I just like that.
Yeah, it is so great. I don't understand why leagues do that. Just show it. The NBA, I guess the NBA can't be quick enough. You could focus on a lot of because we've seen fans. We saw a kid walk onto the court and, like, hug Carmelo.
Well, then they show that. They're like, oh, how cute. Well, that
like,
could
dude,
still
yeah,
be dangerous,
yeah, no, that's
too.
Not cute.
Yeah.
That is, where is that boy's mama at?
Exactly.
Where is that boy's mama? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Spent a lot of time this hour talking about Klay Thompson and his 60-point performance. We're going to talk about the most memorable single-game performances that you can remember. You could share yours with us at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Nelson, what do you got for us?
Yo, I just heard you guys talking about Alden Smith. I'm a big Alden Smith fan. And if you guys can remember, when he first started out with the Niners, he was on pace to become, like, one of the best of all time. This guy was sacking everybody in sight. And it is just sad to hear that this guy is not in the league no more and he's got all these problems. I just wish him the best that he could return for the Raiders. I think Dave in the morning talked about this a couple of days ago. Can you imagine Alden Smith on that Raider defense? It'd be amazing. Go Raiders, go Kings, baby. Thanks.
I appreciate you, Nelson. Thanks, buddy. You just whatever it is, whatever we I feel like we said this last time. You just hope he can get himself together.
Exactly.
We mentioned this a few minutes ago. It was a great night in the NBA last night. One of the great games. The Cavs beat the Raptors. The Raptors were able to make a comeback after the Cavs have gone up pretty big on them. They were able to beat them 116-112. The big three was big.
Yes.
They were huge. 80-plus points for LeBron, K-Love, and Kyrie. The Raptors are 14-7.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost already three times to Cleveland. Once to Golden State.
Okay.
Once to Los Angeles. They have two more losses.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows where I'm going with this now.
Yeah.
To the Sacramento Kings.
That's right. Swept by them for the second straight year.
What?
I know. Doesn't make
sense. Three times to Cleveland. Golden State and the Clippers.
All great teams.
And then the Kings have seven wins.
Yeah.
Two of them thanks to Toronto. Toronto has seven losses, two of them thanks to the Kings.
Doesn't add up, does it?
That is a head-scratcher.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And they play Cleveland almost the same every time, where they have a chance to win. It's close. Right down to the end, Cavs win. Cavs win. Cavs win. That's what's happened every time.
We talked about memorable single-game, memorable moments for you. We're going to discuss those in depth next here on The Lowdown. Also, what's the deal with Kaepernick? Is he going to start? Is he coming off the bench? Or was it the Blaine Gabbert error? Are we going to see Christian Ponder?
Mm.
Yeah, no, I won't even tease that. We're not going to see that. But we'll discuss next on The Lowdown.